Perhaps the Lord might have us look tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 4. You might think, as we take up this account of this poor wretched woman, you might not know people like that. It's not the kind of friends we have. We don't associate with them. But friends, do we really know our own hearts? We don't. You know, we know far more about the heart of God than we do about our own heart. And whenever you hear of anything that has happened that man has done or woman has done, don't ever think that you couldn't do it. John's Gospel, chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, that is, the disciples were the ones who were making disciples by baptism, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. You know, the Lord wasn't interested in baptized disciples. He had on his heart someone who wanted more than religion. You know, there's nothing wrong with baptism, but it's only good for earth. It's not good at all for heaven. All it will do for you in respect to heaven is bring the judgment of God, the Lord in heaven, down upon you if you've been baptized as more responsible than someone who has not been baptized. And so, though there were seemed to be many who were being baptized, the Lord leaves that land of Judea. Noah's the Lord's land. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was born of Judah, and he's going to leave it for Samaria because he was looking for a heart to respond to him. We occupy what would answer to Judea today. That is, we here in the meeting room and here in Pella, we live in a professed, generally, professed Christian community. But when the Lord doesn't find any hearts that are responding to him, he's going to leave this land. I speak in a figure now. He's going to leave Christendom and go back to, as it were, Judea, where he will have a people who will be made willing in the day of his power. There's going to be a little company in Israel amongst Judah who will be crying for the Lord, crying out to the Lord, and he's going to leave the Christian profession because there were no hearts there to open there for him. How about you tonight? As we said this afternoon, our relationship with the Lord, baptism isn't enough, and profession is not enough. What is here? What does he see in your heart this evening as he looks down? Does he see one who feels that they are a sinner and have a heart need of Christ? That's what he is looking for, and so it says in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. You know, the Lord is just passing through. He lived on this earth for 33 years and he just passed through. And he's just passing through now. The Lord isn't taking up a permanent dwelling here on earth. He's just passing through. And you don't have much time. If you're tarrying for a better hour, more convenient time, I just would warn you, no one here tonight can tell you how much time you have left. You can't do it. The Lord is just passing through. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. I wonder, friend, how old you are tonight. And the Lord has been, as it were, journeying with you. Has it been a wearisome journey to the Lord? Is that nothing in your life as he passed amongst these baptized ones? Was there no refreshment for him? And so he comes to this well and he sits down, but he's weary with the journey. You know, he says of his own, "Ye have wearied me, saith the Lord." Those who profess to know him. Would he say that tonight to you or to me? "You've just wearied me. My journey with you has caused me weariness. I haven't gotten the refreshment. I haven't gotten the bread. I haven't gotten the nourishment from you that I would have liked to have." You know, when the Lord found that fig tree which speaks of profession with no figs on it, he cursed it and it dried up. Tonight, is there figs on your tree? Is there water in your well to refresh the Lord? Well, this well had been around a long, long time. The Lord sits at it. And it says, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, at the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Who were these Samaritans? Well, they were transplants that had been put into the land of Israel for the purpose of keeping the beasts out of it. The beasts were slaying them, and they had to be taught the religion of the Jews. And so they sent the priests back there to teach them the laws of Jehovah so the beasts wouldn't devour them. Is that the kind of religion you have tonight? I mean, by that, you're not on drugs, you're not frequenting the bars, they're not picking you up at the jail, you're not being pursued by the police for crimes you've done, but you don't know Christ. You've got enough religion, you've been taught enough religion to keep you out of the gutter, but you don't have Christ. This woman had religion. She'd been taught it. Her parents, her fathers and forefathers had been taught it by the Jews. It had been corrupted, but it had kept the beast from devouring them in the land. Is that satisfactory for you? Just to have a good life? We meet people all the time who haven't done anything too bad. We meet people who you could trust your billfold with. Good people, but they don't know Christ. The beasts haven't devoured them. They've got enough religion to keep that from happening, but they don't know Christ. Is that the religion tonight that you have? this woman was a Samaritan, and she comes to draw water, in verse 7, and it said, Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Is he saying that to you tonight, friend? Give me to drink. Have you ever thought of those words that the Lord spoke when he sent his disciples after that donkey and said, the Lord hath need of him? Do you ever think about the Lord and his relationship with you, that he has need of you? And so he takes that place before this woman. He, as it were, says, I have need of you. I am thirsty. Will you give me a drink? Have you ever given a drink to the Lord? Have you ever only thought just about yourself and what is in life for me? Where is the Lord? Is he outside knocking, or is he inside? As he says, I will come into you and sup with you, and you with me. Have you provided refreshment for the Lord? Well, this dear woman, she comes to the well alone, and alone she meets the Lord Jesus, and he says, give me to drink. You know, this is a good word for us who are Christians, a little nice pattern. We always would like to do good things for our neighbors, and we should. But it's good once in a while to let people do something for you. It'll open a door for you. If you have a need and you let that neighbor help you with that need, it may open a door that you helping him won't open. And so he takes this place of lowly dependence upon this poor woman, give me to drink. And it says in verse 8, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. The disciples weren't there to give him a drink. He turns to the Samaritan woman. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him in verse 9, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. No, the Jews couldn't help the Samaritans. The Jews were dead in their sins, and the Samaritans were dead in their sins, and the Jews had nothing to offer the Samaritans, had no dealings with them. Their religion had set them apart from the Samaritans, made them feel themselves superior to the Samaritans. Perhaps that's the way your religion has left you tonight. You just feel that I am not so bad at all. Remember, it was the Jews that the Lord had left in search of a heart that would receive him. Perhaps tonight you feel complacent about yourself. You have a religion that is higher than those around you. The Jews had that kind of a religion. They had Jerusalem. Perhaps you have Jerusalem. We talked about it this afternoon. Perhaps you've been raised in the meeting. You know more than any other believer in the city of Pella knows about the Bible. But do you have Christ? The Lord left the Jews. And he goes to this Samaritan woman. And he says to her, give me a drink. And she says, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Well, friends, the Lord Jesus was more than a Jew. Yes, he was. He was more than a Jew. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God become flesh. Yes, a Jew. The Lord was a Jew. But he was more than a Jew. And he has dealings with Samaritans. He does have dealings with Samaritans. They were the most despised people. When he speaks of that illustration of the Good Samaritan that we say the Good Samaritan, he is talking about himself. He was, in the eyes of the Jews, the same category as the Samaritans were. but he was the only one who could bring blessing to those with soul needs. The Jews couldn't do it. They had nothing to offer the Samaritans. In verse 10, the Lord says, but it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, we don't call the Lord Jesus when we're talking to him. None of the disciples called him Jesus when they were talking to him, because he is our Lord. And Jesus was the name given him in his humiliation, but Jesus is the name given to him by God in his exaltation too. But we call him Lord Jesus. But the scripture says Jesus answered. That's how close he has come to the human race. That's how close the Lord came to man. He came right to where he was. The Samaritan went down, it says in the New Translation. He went down to him, unto him. The Lord has gone to the depths of Calvary's cross that he might bring us to himself. So he comes to this woman and he says to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, or the giving of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Do you know who it is tonight, friends, that is knocking? If thou knewest who it was. It's a wonderful thing to get to know the Lord. You know, I met a man, I said to him, do you know the Lord? He said, not as well as I'm going to. Well, that's true of all of us. But it's wonderful to know the Lord. If it's only in this measure or this measure, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord. This woman didn't know him. Do you think he's a Jew? That all he means to you? Or is he this man who can give living water? The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. I remember, you know, when those were my thoughts about the Lord, I felt a need in my heart, but I wasn't sure that the Lord had anything to draw with. I wasn't sure that the Lord could meet my need, and so I kept going back to Jacob's well and drinking and drinking and drinking and never getting my thirst satisfied, but not sure that the Lord had anything to draw with, but he does. And if you come to know him as your Savior and as your Lord, you'll find in him one who can satisfy the thirst. And you know tonight, if you have a thirst, it's because you don't know the Lord. You haven't got this living water. Wouldn't you like it? The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? I remember Mr. Lundeen speaking of this verse one time, and he said, the well is deep, and it gets deeper every time you draw from it. Where I used to work, one of the building's offices I cleaned, the owner and president of that company, very nice man, you couldn't find a kinder man, very nice man. And in his office he had a little picture of a little sled for boys. And under it it said something like this, do you remember when all you wanted, this was all that you wanted in life? You know, that's how our life is. You're little and all you want maybe is a pacifier. You grow up and it's a doll. And then it's a wagon or a sled. then a bicycle, maybe a car, and then a wife or a husband, then a house. And we go from one thing, but it keeps getting bigger and more expensive. But if it's all this is our pursuit of life and we don't have Christ, the well gets deeper. The longings get longing, are greater in our hearts, cost us more to try to satisfy them, and we'll never be satisfied. Isn't it wonderful? Someone said the Lord has made our heart in such a way that nothing but the Lord can satisfy us. So the well was deep. She'd been there many times. She didn't see that the Lord had anything to draw with. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Yes, he is. He created Jacob. And you know what he said about Jacob, her father, as she says, our father Jacob? You know what this man who was sitting at the well said about Jacob? He said, thou worm, Jacob. Yes, he takes the highest man that man has ever attained to, thou worm, Jacob. She was going as high as she could go, but it was still just the worm that she thought would bring her blessing. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Well, where was Jacob? Where was his children? Where were the cattle? It all died. Was this living water? Is that all you have in life? Is a religion that man has given you that leads you to die? Jacob's well. Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. What a promise. Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. And it's true. You know, we were going over the bridge and watching those people out on the lake and having fun. But I know I never did that, but I did other things on Sunday, similar things. And I know the feeling after a day out, you know, if we were out drag racing our motorcycles or racing them through here or there or anywhere. I know what it's like to come home Sunday night, tired, dirty, weary, and disappointed. That all you got? If you drink, you have to drink it because it leaves you thirsty. Whoso drinketh of this water will thirst again. What a promise. What a promise and what a statement of the emptiness of the finest that this world has to offer. Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Wouldn't you like that? And you know, I think a little bit about the Word of God, for it's spoken of as the water too. And I just have been enjoying the last few months that I have a book that is inexhaustible. Isn't it wonderful? I mean, to have a little volume that you can hold in one hand and have a treasure that is inexhaustible. And it is. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord and to have His Word, to be able to sit down in the morning and open this book expecting my God to talk to, yes, thou worm, and he will talk to you. That's an inexhaustible source that we have everlasting life. The woman saith unto him in verse 15, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She said, Sir, I'm so tired, I'm so weary, I'm more weary than you are, sir. Give me this water. Have you ever felt that thirst in your life? Even as a believer, have you gotten away from the fountain? Is this a well for you? A place where you go to get, you know, I told Agnes on our last trip west, I have to get home. I am so thirsty and I need to get back home. And so we came home. But sin, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus, that eternal God, who has given us his eternal word and has given me eternal life. And I don't ever have to thirst again. It's going to be a well springing up, not a stagnant pool, but a well. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, All right. You know, friend, you can't come in that way. You can't come in that way. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Why do you say that? Well, if me had been talking to her, we wouldn't have said that. We'd have missed the Lord's mind. He is going to make her feel her need is the result of her being a sinner. That she was tired of drawing well, and she was tired of the consequences of sin, but she hadn't said, I am a sinner. And the Lord put his finger on her life. Has he ever done that to a friend? Have he? I shouldn't tell this story. I was talking with some of my family members. I said this. You ever feel like you're a complete failure? Well, I don't even think that's a Christian thought. So one of these persons was my youngest daughter. 2 weeks ago I was walking with her and I said, she was talking, Dad, I don't know if I do anything right. And I said, that's interesting. I said, I knew a father once, and he was talking with his daughter and said, do you sometimes just feel like you're a complete failure? And she said to him, no, yes, no, she didn't. And we walked in silence a few steps, and she said, Dad, aren't you going to tell me who that was? I said, it was you. Well, it didn't take much time in her life to make her feel that she was a failure. Do you feel that way, friend? You satisfied with your life? Where have you come to Jesus as a sinner? That's the only way you can come and get eternal life. You can't come as a good person. The Lord had left Judea. They wouldn't have any dealings with Samaritans because Samaritans were sinners. And the Lord is saying to this woman, friend, oh, you're thirsty because you're a sinner. Go call your husband. The woman answered and said unto him, verse 17, Jesus said unto her, woman answered and said, I have no husband. What does that mean? I have no husband. You know, when Israel sinned against the Lord, Jehovah, in the book of Hosea, he says, say unto her, she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Then is the Lord your husband? You know, he is getting a bride at this present time, of which he is going to be the husband. Do you have a husband? This woman was honest. She says, I have no husband. What is a husband, then? Say, a husband is one who loves. Husband, love. That's probably the chief feature of a husband. He is a man who loves his wife. There can be no husband unless there is a wife. Some words stand or fall because of another word. There can be no father unless there was a son. There can be no husband unless there is a wife. This woman, she said, I don't have a husband. I don't have anyone to love me. What else is a husband? You know, that's the same root word as a husbandman. Husbandman. One who takes care of the vineyards and the fields. One who cares for you. One who loves you and takes care of you. Have no husband. Listen tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you better line up with this woman. You don't have a husband. You don't have anyone who loves you like he does. And you don't have anyone who cares for you like he does. And this dear woman, she had lots of men in her life, but she didn't have a husband. He says in verse 18, he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In this thou sayest thou truly. Who do you have tonight, friends, if you don't have the Lord? I don't care who it is or what it is. If it's not the Lord, you don't have a husband. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. You're just being used. You know, the world will use us, and they'll pay a price. They'll pay a price for our services until they have no need of them anymore. Then they'll cast you off. They'll cast you off. That's not what this man, the man Christ Jesus, he will never leave you nor forsake you. But this woman didn't have him. She had a lot of men, but no husband. And it's verse 29 or verse 19, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Why? You know, those prophets, they were also called, in other words, they were called a seer. Seer. And she was beginning to realize that this man was no ordinary man. Never met her before, and he was looking right in here. As he looks into your heart, is he saying, thou sayest truly, thou hast no husband? You don't know me. I am not your husband. You are not my wife. So friends, don't stay in that condition. You know, what brings us joy as believers is a day coming, and I don't know how far off it is, and we're going to the marriage of the Lamb. It's a joyful, joyful It's a happy day in our lives, those of us who've been able to be married and get a wife or get a husband. It was a joyous occasion and a happy occasion. But that great day, someone said, for which all days were created, is this marriage supper of the Lamb. Thou hast no husband. Do you have one who's going to take you as his bride? I do. And I'm going toward that day. It says here, woman, in verse 20, she's still struggling, trying to say her religion is good enough, left her thirsty, left her without a husband, but she says, our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Well, Lord, maybe you don't know how religious I am. Maybe you don't know all the good things I've done for the folks in the meeting. Do you have a husband? You know Christ is your Savior? The Lord isn't interested in our religion. And so he says to her, you worship, you know not what. You don't even know what you're doing. And friend, it's true, you don't know what you're doing if you don't know the Lord. The Lord could say, you know, when they crucified him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Paul could say he was the chief of sinners, but he obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly. That is, he didn't know what he was doing. Tonight, friends, I wonder if you know what you're doing. I can say you don't know what you're doing if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Salvation is of the Jews. That is, the Lord had come unto his own. But in this gospel, it says he came unto his own in the first chapter, and his own received him not. And so he's turning to this Samaritan. But she's going to have to come in as a sinner. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You know the Father? It's a wonderful thing to know God as your Father. You know, those of us here tonight who are fathers, we hardly can rise to that occasion. We're hardly worthy of that honor and privilege of being called a father. It's a wonderful thing to be a father. It's an unspeakable privilege and a very, very great responsibility. I kind of think being a husband isn't very far behind it. And the only reason I say behind it is because I do know God the Father and God the Son was that closest intimate relationship that there ever has been. But for us, to be a husband and to be a father is wonderful. But what a grave responsibility. We're hardly worthy to be called either. But the Lord is saying, I would like you to know the Father. It's a wonderful thing to know God as your Father. Not only in relationship, but in practice. You know, he tells the Corinthians, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord God Almighty, and I will be unto you a father, and it says, saith the Lord God Almighty. Why does he say that? Well, what he is saying, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, he said, if you'll stop providing for yourself by means of the world, God will come in and be your father. He'll provide for you. So now not only the Lord was going to give, but the Father was being brought forward to this woman. And then the Spirit, verse 24, God is the Spirit, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So we have God the Son, God the Father, and God the Spirit. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Now she's getting closer. She's starting to feel that her religion isn't enough. And now she's starting to think not so much about religion, but about a person. And she says, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Well, then, you can't go beyond that. The Lord Jesus took her religion away from her. The Lord Jesus took her sin away from her and gave her Himself. I that speak unto thee and thee. Tonight, do you realize that the Lord Jesus Himself is speaking unto you? He wants you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to take away your religion. He wants to take away your sins. He wants to be a husband to you. Won't you come tonight? Just come right now as you are. He'll receive you as a sinner. He won't receive you as a religious person, but He will receive you as a sinner. Won't you come? Lord Jesus, we pray as we can.